Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom in Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. For hundreds of years, our American education system was rooted in the Christian faith and purposely designed by the Founding Fathers so that our nation might be guided by godly principles and hopefully godly educated politicians. Benjamin Russ, a signer of the Constitution's First Amendment and founder of the Philadelphia Bible Society, was an advocate for Christianity in public life and in education. He advocated that the U.S. government require public schools to teach students using the Bible as a textbook, and that the government should even furnish an American Bible to every family at public expense. The Bible was to be the number one book in schools. Examining three key textbooks of the era demonstrates the role the Bible had in our education system because the Founding Fathers believed that religion, morality, and knowledge should be taught in public schools. Why? Because morality could not be taught without religion, and without morality, our nation would crumble. The first American textbook was printed in 1690 called the New England Primer and contained many references to the Bible. First graders were taught the alphabet with these words, A. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. For C, they recited, Christ crucified, for sinners died. It was reprinted many times over and used until even the earliest 20th century. Another key textbook was Noah Webster's Blue Book Speller. He said, education is useless without the Bible. Published originally in 1783, over 100 million copies were later produced for hundreds of years to teach children how to read and spell using the Bible. The third book is McGuffey's Readers, which was produced in 1836 and printed 120 million copies up until 1960. This book taught the four R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, and religion, and featured biblical verses to teach moral values. The idea that the Bible was essential to a good education was so prevalent that in 1781, Congress approved the purchase of Bibles for schools, and then in 1787, they passed the Northwest Ordinances, the first federal law regarding education, and directed states to establish schools to teach religion, morality, and knowledge. This was based on the ideal that this was necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, and believe it or not, nearly every state that was admitted to the Union after that wrote wording to that effect in their state constitutions, and some still have them there today. Another key factor in American education was that many of the universities that were established were founded with Christian objectives. Harvard's motto was, for Christ and the Church, and Yale had a similar motto. Of the first 108 universities founded in America, 106 were founded as Christian schools, and of the first 126 colleges, 123 were Christian. By 1860, 262 of the 288 college presidents were all Christian ministers. As a result, America has had one of the best school systems in the world. Innovation and entrepreneurship flourish in a well-educated, morally directed free enterprise system. Our nation was not exempt from corrupt politicians, of course, but it was exceptional because of our Christian principles instilled into the hearts of children, youth, and adults on the campuses of America. For hundreds of years, there was a campus crusade for Christ. But as we shall see next week and in the weeks to come, we are now engaged in a cultural and spiritual war, a campus crusade against Christ. Here's what one author has to say about the academic atmosphere we find in schools today. Needless to say, there is a bias against the Christian faith in academia that borders on the fanatical. Christianity is openly demonized while Christians are relentlessly pursued through the legal system. This can be seen no more frequently and viciously than in our education system. And if you don't believe that Christians are being systematically silenced and persecuted in our schools and universities today, you haven't been reading or watching the news. I invite you to tune in for the next 2 months to learn about this crusade against Christ on our campuses today. And you may be shocked and stunned to find out what's going on in two main areas. One, what happens to scientists who don't believe in evolution? They're persecuted, whether they're Christian or not. And what happens to people who don't believe that homosexuality is something you're born with? They're persecuted, believe it or not. Listen in as we talk about this new frontier defending our freedom and faith in the academic world in which we live today. Join us next week at the frontier where our freedoms and faith are being attacked.
Thank you for listening. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of GSAE or the Mars Hill Network.